Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, and I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. We're podcasting on-site at Ibis Images Studios. Attention chefs, GMs, and bar managers. Are you looking for a fantastic food photographer to capture your delicious dishes, cool cocktails, and your property's amazing architecture? Well, get with John Hernandez. Check him out at ibisimages.com. He does fantastic work. All right, so it's election season at the ACF, and today we're going to interview Chef Greg Matchett. He's the current sitting ACF Western Regional VP and is running for re-election. Let's dig in. But before we do, chefs and food buyers, are you looking to improve your proteins program with quality and service by the best in the beef business? Reach out to Peninsula Food Service. With 25 butchers on staff, their services will dazzle and impress your dining guests. Peninsula is the largest Creekstone farm distributor in the Southeast United States. Let the gang at Peninsula Food Service cut your beef burdens away. Ask about their dry age program. Look them up at peninsulafood.com. Chef Jeffrey Schlissel, how are you, sir?
Fantabulous, man.
The Schlisselmeister. Yeah, I love it. What have you been cooking, man?
I got into a seafood kick recently, and I took last night, I sent you the pictures, John. So last night I did a seared salmon. My mother-in-law sent back home to with my wife jerk chicken with jerk sauce. So I took the jerk sauce, added honey to it, glazed the salmon, did it that way. And I had rice that we had, and I kind of roasted the rice. So it had a little bit of what's called in Dominican is called cocon, which is kind of like hard rice.
Cocon.
Okay. And it's just magical because it just sends a texture that's different. And then I had some cauliflower puree and candied pecans for a different like flavor profile because it was sweet. It was a crunch.
How did you apply that? What did you do?
So I just kind of like crunched them up and then blended them in my grinder and then just put them on top and then different like sections of the plate to make it as you hit each one, you got a crunch.
But it was after the fact. You didn't cook with,
no,
right?
No. Didn't cook it with. It was after. Okay. So everything was seared. And then what I did on top was Romanesco. So I roasted the Romanesco as well. And it looks like little flowers coming out of the top of the salmon, but the flavor profile, I couldn't believe how wonderful the candy pecan went with the salmon and the flavors of the jerk. It just, it worked so well. So I got to make this, guys, for you from one of the times, not so at 11 o'clock or 12.
What the audience doesn't know is that I'm staring at Chef Jeffrey with, you know, like the, why the hell didn't you bring it today? Look.
That's why I said that.
Uh-huh. I get it. I'm not mad at you. All right. So yeah, man, you know what? You better bring some damn food. It's been a while already.
Well, I know. When we come to John's house, it's like, do I need to bring or do I not? Next, you know what? Next time I'll bring in the corned beef and pastrami that I did. We have that left over.
Okay.
All right. So we'll make sandwiches.
Look, like I said, I'm not mad at you. It's all family here. Let's bring Chef Greg Matchett onto the show. Chef, you there?
Right here. Good afternoon, everybody.
All right. Welcome. Thanks for coming on. Chef,
no problem.
So what state are you working out of?
Denver, Colorado, right here in the beautiful West.
I love Colorado.
It is the best.
I think it's probably the top three most beautiful place in the country.
I appreciate that.
The weather's a little schizophrenic, but
yeah. Weather's schizophrenic. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was up in, Chef, you know where Cripple Creek is?
Love Cripple Creek. Yeah. Right outside of Colorado Springs, up Highway 93. Cool little gold mining town. Yeah.
I know. It's awesome. So I was I was staying out there, and overnight there was, I don't know, probably a foot of snow that fell. And, you know, you wake up in the morning, you look outside and it's like, oh my God, what the day's shot. Like 2 hours later, the sun comes out and it's gone like it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
I lived in Park Meadows. I was working for a restaurant company out there at the Park Meadows Mall. And I just remember like sitting out in the sun on the golf course, 80 degrees. And I get inside and I'm looking back, I'm over my shoulder and I'm cooking. And I look back and I tap one of the guys next to me. I'm like, wow, that's a really bad storm. He's like, oh, that's snow. I was like, sorry. And literally had snow on the ground. And by the time we woke up, same thing. It was 80 degrees.
Yeah.
It was like a huge shift, almost 50 degree shift in
love
temperature.
That. Love that. Chef, can you, let's do this. Why don't you give a little history about who you are, how you got in the business, where you come from. And then kind of if you did some sexy food cooking, let's hear about that too.
Dig it. No, that's awesome. Colorado, 300 days of sunshine a year. Yeah. So from here, beautiful state of Colorado, grew up here, got into the business young, and just, I was a great dishwasher and I loved it, and I just worked like any hour that the chef would let me. So I fell in love with food and carried on throughout, you know, high school, and went to culinary school after that in New York, Hyde Park, and then just apprenticed everywhere. You know, through Ritz-Carlton and Four Seasons hotels in Chicago and Hawaii, lived in San Francisco and LA, and did a lot of work up in Seattle and Columbus, Ohio, and just worked all the way around the country, hotels and restaurants and basically every part of the industry, all industry sectors. I mean, I want to say all, but at least, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, who knows, who's counting, right? And then, came back to Colorado. I had a family here and got some kids and love the business and I love the ACF. And that's how I got started. And sexy food, love that question. So again, I got children, a 15-year-old daughter, and she was lucky enough to go to London with her mom. And she kept talking about having tea. So we did this whole scone bench test, and we were trying to make the perfect scone. Of course, she sent me a picture of the scones that she had in London, which ours were never as good, of course. But the other night, one of my other sons, he said, "Hey, Dad, let's make some chicken enchiladas." So we did the roasted poblano peppers. I did the beautiful broiled chicken. We pulled it. We made our delicious red chili sauce. We dipped our homemade corn tortillas. We rolled the enchiladas. I made a delicious roasted salsa. It was too hot for him. I put too many serranos in it for him, but I liked it. And and then, of course, Ben and Jerry's and cookies for dessert, watching a movie. It was great. It was a great night. So, and then I did a food show the other day, and we did a nice beef carpaccio. We took beef tenderloin. We made a black garlic aioli. We did some fresh chervil, toasted fresh crostini, and people went berserk for the black garlic. All I needed to do was actually make black garlic aioli and squeeze it in people's mouths, and it probably would have been enough.
I mean, you're saying all the right stuff to me. I mean, that's for sure. Well, that does sound pretty sexy. And, you know, one of these days I have to get back to Colorado, and when I do, you can bet we're going to link up.
Dig it.
let's jump into some ACF stuff.
Awesome.
All right. So you know, if you've been following along, there's been a lot of activity going on out there. Let's start with this. So what do you think are the best offerings? So when we're talking about aspiring chefs or chefs that are coming closer to retirement, what can the ACF do for somebody coming in or going out of their career?
That is a great question. I appreciate that question. So, you know, in any organization, it's important to say, you know, what's in it for me, but also what am I bringing to the table as well? So some of the things that the ACF, some of those benefits for somebody close to retirement, of course, over 70, you know, you get a discounted membership, right? And I know a lot of local chapters do a lifetime membership, right? And they've earned that through all of their participation and engagement over the years. You know, they also bring to the table that strong culinary history, the gastronomic history of this is the way it was and this is the way it is now, and what's missing, right? They bring the chapter history, that tribal knowledge. They also bring that mentorship, that leadership, and they are a part, an integral part of the network of sponsors and donors. And I believe that the ACF, and I was just talking about this with ACF National Offices, we need to spotlight, a member actually sent something in, and everybody weighed in. We need to spotlight those people, members close to retirement or people that have retired that have brought so much to the organization in the National Culinary Review. And even if it's 30 members, you know, a month or 30 a quarter or some from each region. But I believe there's a lot of reasons that those, you know, people close to retirement, those members that have retired should stay in the ACF. We need them as much as they need us. It gives everybody a reason to hold on to each other.
You know, you got to figure that if somebody's been around the game for 20, 30, 40 or plus years, there's teaching to be taught, right? There's knowledge to be had and passed down. Should always look to take care of the guys who are kind of coming to the end of their careers.
Those have been our role models forever. They have the knowledge. Those are the leaders. And just because they're not zipping around the kitchen anymore doesn't mean that they don't know what to do, right?
Right. So regarding charities and so look, our business, you know, mental health and substance abuse concerns are a big deal. It's a real thing. I'm pretty sure everybody's aware of it. How does the ACF play into that? And how can the organization do more to assist with our comrades in the business to help these people?
You know, that is a great point. That is on the forefront. We've got Generation Alpha right behind Generation Z, right behind the Millennials, right behind the Xers, and you know, prior to that, of course, the Baby Boomers. And this is not a problem that has been addressed for a long period of time, and it is being addressed now. And I feel like it's just recently that it's actually getting the spotlight that it needs, and we need more of it. We need more partnerships, and I feel like people need to be, our members need to be aware that there are resources out there and in here. And it's a phone call. It's a web link. It's a text to a friend who knows of the resource. It's a matter of a mindset change of the membership that don't know these resources are out here to actually say, hey, I'm struggling a little bit, and being vulnerable long enough for somebody to say, are you willing to take the next step? Let's connect you with somebody that can help you for whether it's a free mental health assessment or just to talk or what other resources are out there. So I can say this in local chapters here in Colorado and a few others throughout the West region. We've got a program called CHOW, Culinary Hospitality Outreach and Wellness. And they are a great mental health and work-life balance wellness resource. They've got sponsors. They've got amazing staff and tons of resources. CHOW, have you guys heard of CHOW? It's a fabulous, fabulous work-life balance and mental health resource.
I've definitely heard of CHOW. Erin Boyle is the chairperson there. She's does a phenomenal job. Chris and Melinda, they did a phenomenal job as well. So CHOW is a great resource. Yes. There's several others out there. There's the Ben's Friends, there's the Burnt Chef, and those are all on the wellness on the acf.org website for membership.
Excellent.
Amen to that. We definitely need more of that, and we need to shift the culture where it is on the forefront. We're talking about salary, we're talking about network, we're talking about competitions and certifications, and we're talking about mental health.
Yeah, none of those other points make a difference if, you know, behind the scenes your life is a mess, or even in the front of, you know, even in plain view.
That's exactly right.
It's a very important thing, and it's gone. I think it's gone way past the time of, you know, being addressed in a large scale sort of way. So I'm glad that the ACF is already taking part.
But culture shift.
Yeah, I feel like that there should be. We should probably look to do a little bit more with that. Just throw my little two cents into it. So in terms of. So let's talk about what the best way is for the ACF to position itself with the various increase in different cultures coming into the culinary world. Just like everything has over the last like 25 years, there's so many new people from different places that are now, you know, rising through the ranks of our culinary, you know, establishments. How do you feel about that? Is that something where you think that they're getting taken care of properly? You know, embraced. How do we address that?
You know, that's a great point. And now that our world is global, and of course cuisine is global, it is extremely important that we are greeting our brethren and sisters from across the world, wherever they come from, whatever culture it is, whatever country it is, whatever state it is, with what they do and what they have to bring to the table for our industry, for advancing, you know, the culinary industry. So whether it's WAX, whether it's other national culinary associations, the chain, the Golden Toke, it is important that we, on every level, at the ACF and any place of employment, is welcoming these people with open arms. And is it enough, is your question? It's never enough. People need to feel like they're being listened to, and people need to feel like, you know, they have value for what they're bringing to the table. So I think there's always work to be done on that. But again, it's a matter of putting it in the forefront and saying, everybody's important. Let's embrace this cuisine. Let's embrace your culture. Let's embrace whatever association and country you're coming from, and show us what you have, and we're going to share everything with you as well. So together we can be stronger. And that's why that's a great question. And it's on the forefront.
Well, so, you know, it kind of parallels, you know, the same 25 years or so, it kind of parallels the rise of female chefs in our industry, becoming actual executive chefs and running the show. You know, it's the same question, you know, how are we doing there? And do you think that we could be doing something better to embrace that change? And I know, and I've said this on the other podcast that, you know, we asked this question on, I mean, as a distributor and, you know, dealing with chefs for the past 30 years, I've seen the change, and, you know, it's pretty remarkable. When you look at it from the, you know, from the airplane view, how it was something so taboo, and now it's really not. I mean, you know, I don't know if you would say that there's a ceiling or no ceiling. I don't want to get into that, But I do know that there's been a giant increase in female executive chefs, and I think it's great. How do you feel about that?
I think it's great, and I think, unfortunately, in some companies, there still might be a culture of, you know, ceiling. You use the word ceiling, but there's nothing that a female chef can't do as well. They have my full support. And of course, I'm one person, but I hope to lead the region and the ACF to being that accepting of females in the industry. I also believe that leaning on the core values, you know, ECF's guiding principles, the professionalism, leadership, collaboration, and excellence, you know, treating people with dignity and respect, all that plays into the fundamental belief of anybody can be successful in this industry, right? And what we do locally, you know, maybe ACF should do a women's spotlight month, a women's history month. We had I spotlighted quite a few people on Women's Day. You know, there's people from all over the region. I put up on the LinkedIn page and calling out what these chapter presidents and what these women chefs are doing and have done. And they, and I say the word they, and that's the wrong word, everyone deserves an equal chance and to be accepted and heard and to be successful.
Well said. So what's the best action plan for promoting education within the ACF?
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Okay. So the action plan for promoting ACF, did you say ACF or ACF education?
So in terms of promoting education within the ACF.
We've got quite a few online programs. We also have any in-person program, and it's all a mindset of it's all education. So I believe mentorship, the chef's table subgroups, there's mentorships for certification on the subgroup of the chef's table. I also believe that there's tons of opportunities within each chapter to engage and encourage those leaders to promote education within their chapter meetings and within the schools and the ProStar programs that are out there. We need to encourage leaders to pass on the torch that was passed to us, right? Sharing that knowledge. So it's a matter of getting more people plugged into those programs. I believe, what was it? I think it was 2,500 plus active users on the ACF online courses, which is a big deal.
That's a pretty big number. Yeah, and we talked about that too.
I think there's over 100 courses.
Yeah,
there's 100 courses out there. I think there was like 6,700 webinar attendees. So it's a two-pronged approach at the chapter level, the ACF offering and supporting chapters, offering those online courses. The courses need to be relevant, and people can earn their credit hours, and then building that network through digital, through social media, through face-to-face and live and phone calls, just so we can get more education out there. And with education is knowledge. And of course, everybody wants to know more about our profession that is in the profession as an ACF member.
Oh, well, so hey, 2000, that's tremendous. Do we know what kind of time period that was over?
They really started doing these webinars 2020. That's when it became full force because everybody was obviously locked down because of the pandemic. The first I remember quite vividly because I was the first panel. We did a mental health one. And it was, and then from there they did different ones, and they've been doing it, and they've actually been evolving these courses.
In a world where we hear, you know, billions and trillions all the time in just everyday vernacular, to, you know, 2,000 is a huge number.
Well, especially when you're talking about education. I think it goes like that. The other question we have about, you know, with all the different culinary schools, what does the ACF have to offer? I think the ACF has to offer, and Greg, I might be taking some of your soapbox there, so I apologize. But I think this is a great opportunity for the ACF to actually position itself to being that culinary teacher because of that.
I mean, the groundwork is already laid out. It's just a matter of initiating or whatever, turning the switch.
Right.
Greg, Chef, should the National Board receive benefits without bringing in paid sponsorships?
You know what? I love that question, but can I go back really quick?
Sure.
I mean, we could easily fund the future through accreditation, through the foundation. You know what? The groundwork is laid, Jeff. You are exactly correct. And to position yourself as the go-to and the leader for online, for network, for the accreditation, through the ProStart, through any kind of culinary post-secondary program, there's money to be had, there's education to be given, and ACF is strongly and strategically positioned to make that happen. And one more way that the ACF can strengthen the education is every culinary school, nearly every culinary school, part of the tuition is to get, you know, their students' memberships paid. So the instructors, the culture of the school needs to say, hey, bring everybody to a meeting. And then those chapter meetings need to be fun. You know, they need to be engaged and involved. And the school, in turn, also needs to host maybe a meeting or a competition or a certification or something like that to just keep that partnership going strong. And again, that's going to tap into the next generation of students and members that are going to be lifetime members of the ACF and pass that torch on when we're long gone.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm going to take what you just said there, and I'm going to skip a few questions that we'll come back to. So what are the advantages and disadvantages of giving students full voting rights in the ACF?
Ooh, great question. That actually came up.
It's a good segue.
That came up in the Board of Governors meeting as a proposed bylaw change, and the bylaws or the Board of Governors, it lost the vote, and I don't know if it's going to come up again in this year's Board of Governors meeting. However, you know, that there are advantages and disadvantages. I believe that the students pay less because they're student, they have less experience, they're less invested in the ACF than a professional member. A professional member has full voting rights. One is one. And then, you know, junior culinarians and enthusiasts and students, they'll have like half, quarter, depending on what level of membership that they are. However, are they bringing the same amount of engagement and knowledge and expertise to the meetings, to the ACF National, to their local chapter, to their network? How are they growing and contributing? So it isn't as easy and simple as when you're 18, you get to vote, one is one. This is a little bit different. And the experience that somebody that's been or that is a professional member brings usually is much more than a junior culinarian who's in their teens or a student culinarian. So there are definitely pros and cons, and it is up to the Board of Governors to decide if that becomes a bylaw or not.
Greg, let me add a question to that too, because I think you can enlighten myself too. When somebody proposes a bylaw change and they bring it to the bylaw committee, does the board get to vote on the board that bylaw moving forward for the Board of Governors? Or does it, everything that everyone submits in gets to go in?
So there are, it goes through the bylaw committee chairman, and then the chairman and the board, and, you know, it, from what I've seen, talk about, does this make sense? moving forward? Did you did the bylaw committee and the person that submitted the bylaw run it through the ringer? And is this cannibalizing or offsetting any of the other bylaws that are currently in there? Does it need to be re-looked at? So it does go by the board in a long train format. You know, there was several bylaw proposals from what I remember, and then they either go back to committee to get hashed out to make sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. Excuse me. And then it goes to the Board of Governors. It's as easy as that. And even if it's the same bylaw over and over and over again, that is possible. It can be voted on over and over and over again.
Should the national
board... It can be voted on and shot down, or it can be voted on and approved. The same person can provide and submit the same bylaw, and it can go through the committee again and again and again. There's no limit on how many times it can go through that process, and then the Board of Governors decides.
Understood. Should the national board receive benefits without bringing in paid sponsorships?
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
So as a member of the ECF, it's important to connect, I believe, it's very important to connect companies and donors and sponsors, potential, you know, prospect donors and prospect sponsors with everybody at the ECF National Office and the team handling sponsorship and MCI. And that's part of being an engaged member. And the benefits of volunteering are, you know what, you're on the other end of those emails, you're on the other end of the phone, you're communicating what's been happening, you're listening to the members to make sure that each chapter and each member is heard, you're in the conduit of that information and communication, and you're a voice and a seat at the national level for all those members. So, but it goes both ways. You know, I've certainly submitted my list of potential sponsors to the ECF, and I know other people do so as well. So it does work both ways, and there's a lot of money and happy donors to be had out there. So it's more or less an ongoing process. I don't know how much the two really tie together, but good question all around.
What was your inspiration to originally run for that position, for your position, and then now that you're actually going to rerun again, what inspires you to continue on, and what do you believe your leadership will, how will that help the future of the ACF?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I love that. So inspiration is just to make a difference for the members, to help ACF National help the West region at ECF National and with the other chapters become as strong as possible. And of course, to be of value to every member. So my inspiration to run is I want to make a difference, and I care about the members, and I care about the ACF. And you know what? I believe the leadership, I have leadership on the Colorado Chefs Association for over 12 years on the board. And I also believe leadership, and I didn't think this earlier in my career, but the most important part of being a leader is just listening to the people that you lead, you know, never presuming, seeking their input and perspective, and then taking those issues from each chapter and each member up to the national level, just ensuring every member has an opportunity and that their voice is heard. And I'll spin that into everything that we've been talking about, you know, spotlight on women, and are we doing enough on the international level, and diversity and inclusion and wellness and health and well-being. All of that stuff is important. And anywhere we can make a difference on a national level for a group of members and for each chapter, it's very important. So that's the inspiration. And I feel like the leadership and experience that I've learned over the last, you know, couple of years on the board and throughout my career lends itself well. And, you know, out there working hard and trying hard to make a difference for every member.
Do you believe there should be term limits for national positions, specifically chairman of the board?
Okay. I'm 99.9% sure that there are term limits. It's two terms in each position on a national level. So two for VP and then two for, you know, president or secretary or treasurer. So, and then the again, if there's a bylaw change, board of governors would vote on that. So I believe term limits are extremely helpful because that's the motivation to get it done now, right? How can I make a difference today? How can I make a difference before it's over? And I do believe there should be term limits for national board positions. So that's my take on that.
Excellent. How did the ACF do a CMPC beta test that has no direct result and someone gain a certification in just 3 days of an 8-day exam?
Ooh. Well, I appreciate that question. Not new territory over the last few months. That exam was done without the board's knowledge and certainly without my knowledge. Certainly without my knowledge. I won't say that. So without my knowledge, and transparency is a major issue surrounding that event. And unbelievable. I don't know how. There is a lot of tough questions to be asked and answered, and already have started asking those questions. So investigation going on into that. And I still scratch my head and shake my head and think, wow, the policies and procedures, you know, there's quite a few things that have cropped up that are, let's dig into this. Let's figure it out together. Let's communicate it out to the members. Let's put some systems in place and people in place so this doesn't happen again. It is about checks and balances. It is about police self-policing ourselves. And when I say ourselves, I say the ACF. And we don't want to diminish certification throughout the world and throughout the country based on a different type of test for the same certification. So very sticky wicket we got here and digging into it. And sometimes these things just show up and it's a matter of figuring it out and trying to keep it all together and not make any enemies while you're at it. So we're digging into it is my closing statement for that. How did it was how you started, and we're digging into it, and it's unbelievable. But I hope some of that content in the middle give you a little bit more detail.
You know, there's always three sides to a story. So you have the one side, the other side, and somewhere in the middle, there's definitely the truth. But I mean, when's the last time the CMC exam has been modified? Do you know?
I don't have the exact date. I know that, you know, if there's some kind of ladder program in the future where you go from CEC and then you look up Mount Everest and you're like, wow, CMC, whew, is there a base camp I can start at? Is there like three base camps along the way? Is it CMC Garmage, CMC, you know, Sum of Pastry, CMC Entrementier and Poissonier? Who knows? However, the jump from CEC to CMC,
it's huge,
I think,
right? It's huge.
I think AMCO might be working on this. It's some kind of ladder
Yeah, they call it step
program certification.
Yeah, they call it step. When you work, when you, let's say you break down a chicken in CEC, the next level of CMC, you should not be having to break down a chicken. But my question is, like, when's the last time it was modified? And if you don't know, when's the last time the CPMC exam was modified? Because that's where this is really coming from. It's about modification of an exam that had not been modified for 20 years, which is the CPMC.
I believe it's north of two decades. I think you're right there. Yeah. I don't have the date. That's why I didn't say. I said it's a long time.
No, I get it. I get it. But here's another question for you. Which is more detrimental to the actual organization? Is it this particular thing with the CMTC and CMC, or is it someone holding up a document during a town hall that they shouldn't have had those documents?
I'm not quite sure of the question. Again, can you?
Sure. I mean, did you see the town hall? Did you see the town hall with Kyle Richardson?
I need to watch that.
Please do.
To watch the recording. It's Kyle and
Kent.
Kirk.
No, Kent. Yes. Kent is his name. Kent Anderson.
Kent. I sincerely apologize. Kent.
No.
Kent.
Kirk, please. Kyle, please watch that for me when you have a chance.
I will. All right. Yeah. I'm going to do it on Saturday. We all got busy jobs.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
I watch all the podcasts and the town halls on the weekend.
There's definitely everybody's pulling their hair around. What does it mean for the ACF now that the American Master Chefs, AMCO, has displaced itself from the ACF certifications, and why is that?
You know, I do know that it means a lot. And I take AMCO very seriously, and as does the ACF. And again, all the CMCs started in the ACF, and you can have dual membership, of course. And it means a lot when your fellow brethren are saying, you know what, we're not really aligned on some of these things. So it's very serious. And I do know that I can share with you that I know that there's been communication. There's a task force between ACF, National Board. I'm not on the task force. I know people that are on the task force, and AMCO, American Master Chefs Order. I know a lot of those guys in the American Master Chefs Order. And my hope, and my vision, my dream is that come back together, find an agreement, align to a common vision, and loop their expertise and see how we can partner going together. If they, you know, would love to get more involved and stay involved, that would be ideal. So it means a lot, and it's unfortunate it got to this. Like, who even knows how things get to places sometimes? You know, it's a big organization, and people do things for different reasons, but it is very serious. And I believe that we're going to work it out. That's my hope.
Chef, how long have you been a member of the ACF? Actually, how long have you been cooking? How many years?
I don't even know. I was going to do the math on that. I don't know. I think it was 1987 that I went to my first ACF meeting. I was in high school. It was... there was an ice carver there, and he said, get over here. And he said, make a V. And I said, I can't make a V. He's like, just copy me. And he just spent 10 years in Japan, and he carves rocks and ice like Michelangelo, an amazing ice carver. And I thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And we had, I don't know, 5-6 course plated meal with wine. Right. And I was hooked ever since. You know, I saw all these chefs in white chef coats and tall hats, and I was just an apprentice, you know, jumping on dumpsters and, you know, going to get things and cutting my finger every day and spilling chocolate and marinara sauce. So I was hooked. So I guess
you said sauce.
1980s.
That's good stuff. Yeah, that's a long time. Chef, listen, what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up. I'm going to give you the next minute as we as we roll out of here to plug yourself and make it happen. It was great to have you on the show, and thank you very much.
Well, I cannot wait to see Carl, John, Jeff. Y'all need to come back out here to Colorado and get that 300 days of sunshine a year. I don't know if we're going to be hanging out in Park Meadows. We can certainly go to Cripple Creek. However, Greg Matchett, I believe in every member. I believe together we can build a stronger network, and I want to make a difference for all of you. So please vote April 24th through May 8th. Greg Matchett, West Region Vice President. Thank you very much for your time. Stay tuned.
All right. Producer Mr. John, thank you very much. Chef Jeffrey Schlissel, thank you kindly. And I'm going to take you up on that Colorado thing. I'm in the mood for some elk. I'm just saying. I'm looking for some good stuff like that. All right. Listen, guys, we are out. Thanks again for listening. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.